Thank you, Lord, that when we come together, you are always here for us, to meet with us and to minister to us your life, your healing, everything you have. Lord, we just come to your word. Quicken it to our mind and our hearts that we may be able to receive the things, Lord, that you have planned for us to have today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, we've been talking about the helper. You know, the focus, the main idea that we had to get about this is that our helper is here. It's not that we had to wait for some time. It's not that we had to be there trying to get him to come. He has come. He's here right now, and he wants to minister to us and help us in the things that we need. He's been sent for the purpose. Jesus did everything that needed to be done so that we may be able to receive the support and the help that we need for whatever circumstance or situation we may be in. The things we had to do is to receive that help and that support. And we do that by faith, by believing in what he has done, by believing in the things that he has accomplished. He did his part. Now is the time for us to do ours. You know, lots of time, people ask God to do things that he has already done. And that's a really waste of time. And actually, it's an indication of lack of faith. You know, I think it was T.L. Osborne said something, you know, this: never ask God to do something he has already done. Appropriate what he has done by faith. So you see the part that we had, see, people praise and praise amiss because they ask him things that he has already finished and accomplished. Instead of taking the responsibility to appropriate what he has done and say, okay, this is mine. And so because it's mine, I had to take it. And this is where the appropriation, the taking becomes so important. You know, the word there, receiving it, people, you know, there are different words and we are going to see it today. But there is, you know, the word that applies there is lambano, which actually means to grasp, to take. And you take because you know that it's yours and so you can take it. Okay. And there are many things that have been accomplished through the redemption or to what he did on the cross. Okay. And those things are things that all of them are being finished, terminated. And the only thing we had to do is not to ask God for them, but to go and take them. That makes all the difference. Otherwise, what we are doing is really wasting our time. And wasting his time, because he has done it, and we are there asking him. You know, it really doesn't make much sense, but that's what religion does, unfortunately. They try to, you know, you think that you are spiritual by doing something that actually is completely unspiritual, because it's really unbelieving. You see, that you have to, there is a difference between being a believer and being an unbeliever. Okay, whatever doesn't match with what the Word of God says, even if it sounds religion, is not believing. And we have to understand that, and we have to line up ourselves in our thinking and our actions with the Word of God, not with the way we feel, not with what tradition said. Hallelujah. So, you know, he's here with us already. We don't need, you know, especially if you're born again. I mean, I'm taking that assumption. If you're not, be gone. Okay? It's just as simple. It's not complicated. It just takes a second to do. But it has to be your intention, it has to be your desire, and your openness to receive what he has done and to make yourself open for him to do and do the work he wants to do. But so he came and he dwells in you. So that's the first thing. So that's the first realization of his indwelling. That means he's there inside you, always trying to help you. We should never feel abandoned. We should never feel unable to cope with the situation we are in, because we have the all-powerful God inside us that is there to help us to overcome our situation. He's there to equip us for any situation we may be in. And so that equipment that comes to us comes where, when we ask him and we are by faith believing that he's going to provide it for us. And as we are acting and responding to that idea, that principle, that position that we take, then he can come through and communicate to us what we need to know to give us the wisdom that we need to deal with the situation. So this is, you know, very important to understand, because otherwise, you know, we are there not knowing. When we don't know, we ask. Ask and it shall be given. And so we had to take that position. But, you know, just asking, people keep asking, never receiving. Well, doesn't work, doesn't do that. You know, once you ask, you have to put in action your faith and receive it. And so you start being open to get the direction you need. And when you get the direction, you act on it. So really, when it comes to that, you know, we had to see the things that God can do for us as he gives us the direction, and when we take action for that. Whatever that is, obedience to the Holy Spirit is critical for us to move from where we are to where he wants us to be, or where even you want to be. Because otherwise, see, he's waiting for us to act on his direction. And sometimes, you know, the simple thing that his direction is right in front of our nose. The word of God showing us exactly what we have to do. Generally, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it's always in line with his word. If you get direction that is not in line with his word, it's not the Holy Spirit. And we have to understand that. So one of the things that we have to do immediately, you know, is to allow, you know, to act on what he has given us, the direction he has given us, the understanding he has given us, all these things. You know, you have his word. His word give us all the direction you need. And you have the Holy Spirit to point the word to you, to bring to remembrance the things that you had to remember, so that you can start living and applying those principles, those things that work in your particular case, giving you the wisdom to know what to do. But you know, your attitude, the attitude you take concerning the situation makes all the difference. Because if you are there expecting the Holy Spirit to talk to you, he will. If you are there wondering, you probably won't, because you are in a place where you cannot receive. You cannot hear. It's like, you know, you are distracted. If you come to me and ask me for some direction and I am talking to you and you look at somewhere else because you don't trust anymore that I'm going to give you any direction, you are not going to hear what I'm saying to you. And you can see me, and so that should be, would be really strange if that would happen. But you cannot see necessarily the Holy Spirit, so you have to be attentive to what he wants to tell you. You have to be inclined your ear to hearing. Praise the Lord. All right. So, let me see. Okay. So one of the things that we had to realize then is the fact that, you know, we had to start doing what the Word of God says for us to do, which is really what the Holy Spirit is going to tell us to do. Okay? Praise the Lord. What's going on? All right. The time has gone so quickly that I'm trying to see how to put everything together in the time. I promised last week to talk to you about some things, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. Oh, yes, here it is. That's what I was looking for. All right. So, one of the things is, you know, the way he works with us, he's teaching us. So his job is as our teacher. He's going to provide the information, provide the understanding for the things you need to do. He takes the word and clarify, illuminate the meaning of the word so that we can know what to do. Okay. The other things that I think already mentioned to you was the fact that he testifies about Jesus. How does he do that? Okay. Well, evidently, he's not. Most of the people, what they do about testifying about Jesus, talking about him. Okay? That's what generally is interpreted. I don't believe that's the meaning. I believe the meaning is that, you know, you had to, you know, you're not just talking about Jesus, but to demonstrate Jesus. This is what makes a difference. Because he's not used to talk about some a historical figure 2,000 years ago. You know, that was completely when Christianity started to talk about the historical Jesus, they really already indicated they missed it. Because Paul said, you know, I don't look at things in the flesh anymore. I know, you know, I look on things on the spirit. So the fact that, you know, the fact that you had to connect to a historical figure has no power. Jesus is alive today just as well as was alive 2,000 years ago. And so the one that you had to meet is not the one that was there 2,000 years ago, is the one that's here now today. And he does the same thing today that he did 2,000 years ago. So the only thing that they had to meet is not the historical figure of Jesus, but the reality of Jesus today. They can perform the same thing that he performed 2,000 years ago when he walks on in Galilee and all the other places in Israel. Amen. See, that's what makes a difference. That's what we are called to testify. You see, and the thing is, the Holy Spirit, that's why the Holy Spirit is needed. Because you cannot testify that with words. You need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to prove he's the one that's going to perform the things that he did before in Jesus. He's going to perform the things that he did in Jesus in you. So that's you see, you continue. You continue what he did before, and you manifest and says, you know, this is, you know, you need healing. In Jesus' name, be healed, and they get healed. And that's the demonstration that you're testifying about Jesus, because you cannot heal anybody, but he can, and he does it through you. Amen. So this is a way we had to understand. You see, this is why he said, you know, it's to your advantage for me to go, because otherwise I cannot send the Holy Spirit. You cannot testify. You cannot talk about something. It's just a story. It's the reality of the Spirit of God being in you that testifies about Jesus, because you got it because of him. So let's go to another one, because this is an interesting one, and I'm going to say some things that probably, you know, don't quite match what you heard before. You know, it says in John chapter 16, verse 8, it says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You know, I heard this so many times preached, And I believe this is an indication of the decadence of Christianity in these days. Okay, the indication that conviction doesn't bring feeling of judgment is completely untrue. The meaning of conviction in Greek, the word is elenko, and the meaning is to rebuke, to admonish, to expose a fault, to find fault, to produce shame, and to call to account, and to punish. So it's not, you see, you know, Holy Spirit is not going to make you feel guilty. That's complete nonsense. This is exactly the opposite of what the word says. This is because they're trying to sugarcoat Christianity so that everybody can take it. Oh, everything is okay. Jesus loves you. Absolutely nonsense. The Holy Spirit is going to point to you and says, this is wrong, and you better fix it. You see, if that doesn't happen, you cannot be saved. You are not saved because everything is going to be fine and Jesus loves me. No, you saved because you repent. And you repent because you feel guilty about the things you did before. Just go and check up the word in Greek and you will see that I'm not just making it up. This is exactly what the Greek word means. See, there is impending judgment on you, and that makes you feel shame because of the things you did before. Otherwise, you're not going to repent. You just say a little prayer, and Jesus fix up everything. Sorry, doesn't work that way. You have to be making a decision to change, to turn around, and to be different. Are you following me? So this is really, you know, saying that that's the only meaning is, you know, that it's just going to point out that something is wrong is not enough. There has to be that position on your heart that you are really detesting the things you did before and wanting to do nothing to do with them anymore. So what I'm saying to you here is, you know, the response to the work of the Holy Spirit is going to determine your position with God. If you remember, when Jesus went around, was the Holy Spirit working through Jesus, wasn't it? What was the result on the people that were with him? There were two results, really. One of them, oh, Lord, I'm not worthy to even be close to you. But he was there to draw you to him, to help you and to forgive you. The other one is, who do you think you are? The Son of God? And they want to kill him and hate. See, there are two responses. Or the one that you feel, you know, I'm worthy and you want to get closer to him and you are open to change. Or the fact that you can't stand the fact that he makes you feel bad and you hate him. Are you following me? See, and this is what happens today to when you are going to be a witness of Jesus. Exactly the same thing is going to happen to you. Either you make them feel bad and they want to do something, but that's the way they respond to feeling bad. It's either that they want to change or that they hate you because you make them feel bad. If you are sugarcoating your message so that they accept it, you really are shortcoming the gospel. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Now, let's continue because the following verses, okay, these are important. But the following verses are critical because I always had a problem with those following verses. And I finally understood them. Verse 16, John 16:9 says, let me start from the beginning because otherwise the sentence doesn't work. So, and you know, and he... When he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and they see me no more. And of judgment because the rulers of the world is judged already. Now, what they generally, this is applied to us. And there is an application to us, but Jesus was not meaning it that way. Jesus was talking about the Jews in this case. Okay? Because we of sin, because did not believe in me. If they don't believe in Jesus, they don't believe they have any sin today. Okay? But instead, Jesus was putting his finger on them and telling them that they were wrong. So they did not believe in him, so they were sinning because of that. The other thing that you can see, following the righteousness, because I go not to the Father, they don't see me anymore. Well, we don't see them anyway. But the fact that he went to the Father, they saw him going to the Father, they saw that happening to them at that particular time. They saw him going to the Father, and he was not there anymore. That applies completely to them. Because they are you see, the righteous, that he was righteous was demonstrated by the fact that he went to the Father. Now, for us, it's just something that people tell us, but for them, it was actually something that they experienced. That's the thing that they had to go around. You know, things haven't changed too much. You know, today there is fake news. Those days, what they did with when Jesus was resurrected, fake news. They went around, they paid somebody to say that they saw people, that their followers have been taking off his body from the tomb. What has changed? Only now is much worse. Okay, so the third one is, you know, that of judgment because the ruler of this world is being judged. You see, they saw Jesus resurrected. And that's the evidence of the fact that the world, the ruler of the world was judged because he overcame him. Okay, so all the three things are actually applied specifically for them, but also go for us because we can understand what happened then. Okay, but for somebody that does not believe in Jesus, there's going to be no any reaction from that. So you see, the Holy Spirit is going to deal with individual and dealt with individual then and is in dealing with individual now. Okay, but it depends on the position that they are. And what they're going to do. Okay? So, see, the conviction, okay, for the witness is not the historical fact, but the fact that the spiritual truth that we had to deal with inside ourselves. Is that what makes the difference? We had to deal with that reality within ourselves and respond to that. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit that does within us and did then with them too. Okay, it's not the physical things that happen. It's the fact that, you know, that God deals with us internally and minister to us for the things that we had to either accept or reject. Because that's what comes down to. There is actually either a rejection or an acceptance. And, you know, the only thing that you had to do that one way or another. There is no gray area. Either you accept it or you reject it. And this is the way it is with the gospel. And we have to realize that it pays to accept it. Amen? So when we understand that, okay, let's show, for example, one scripture in which this is reflected later on in the book of Acts. You remember the book of Acts? Peter and the others were, you know, Peter brought the guy from the beautiful gate, you know, was raised, and also the Sanhedrin got him, and then they went around, you know, preaching, and that produces a big reaction from the Sanhedrin. Okay? So what it says in Acts chapter 5, the following chapter, you know, Peter had been imprisoned for the miracle that had happened. They, you know, and was set free by an angel from the prison. Okay? So, and he was taken back to preach again just after he was free. You know, so it didn't make any, you know, I mean, from the logical point of view, they must have seen this is really strange. I mean, we put him in prison. Everything is in the chain. The guards are looking after him. The guards don't know anything. And this guy is out on the street preaching again. I mean, this is really, number one, they're pretty stubborn, these people. Number two, how did they get out? All right? So, I mean, just that. You see, that's a witness of Jesus, isn't it? See, that was complete the witness of Jesus. What the reaction was. Either was, well, you know, I mean, this must be miraculous. This must be supernatural. Or, you know, you get even more mad. You want to just kill the guy. Okay? So, anyway. Now he's there, brought back. They take him. They take him back. They bring him in front of the council. And there it is. And he says, we are his witnesses. You see that about being witness? You see, the fact is, it's not a witness that they say, you know, Jesus was, you know, was who he was. No, this is the demonstration of the witness, okay, to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. You see, the fact is Jesus was who he was, but you can see it because the Holy Spirit, those that obey him, manifest the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. That's witnessing. Anyway, all right. So, part of that is that when he comes to us, oh my goodness, he's gone, huh? See, I was trying to get everything in. I get another 5 minutes, okay? Yeah, with your permission. All right. Just fire. All right. All right. All right. So, the other thing that, you know, we need that. We need him. That's why, you know, our helper is here now. And that's what we have to be aware of. And one of the things that he's going to do for us to be witness, he has to equip us to be witness. He has to enable us to be witness because we cannot do it by just talking. By just talking about the historical aspect of Jesus' life. Oh, yes, we can talk about the historical part of Jesus' life, but unless we can demonstrate that they're still the same, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then Jesus is not the same, and then it doesn't work. See, that's the problem with the church. It doesn't believe in the power of God today, that the gifts are passed with the apostles. When they are passed with the apostles, Jesus is passed with the apostles too. And he's not. He is the same. That's what the word said. God does not change. Jesus is the same. So, you know, if we want to witness, we have to witness to the sameness of Jesus today that it was 2,000 years ago. And that means that what Jesus said, the work that I do, you shall do also, even greater works, should be actually real, because otherwise what he said doesn't count. That's why we believe that when we pray for people, they get healed. And they get healed. See, that's demonstration. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So he's there to equip us. Maybe I should stop. Did you get anything anyway? Okay. The idea here is simple. Okay. God wants to work through us. is in us for a purpose, not so that we take him around for a ride. It's in us so that he can work through us, so that we make ourselves available to be used by him in accomplish his purposes. Okay? And when we do that, then he is going to do it. You see, well, we have to have the faith to believe it. The faith to believe that the Holy Spirit is in us. Instead of looking at ourselves, we have to look at him, who is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that enables us. He's the one that gives us the ability to do that. He's the one that actually performed the miracles. But he needs our hands to lay laid on the sick. He needs our mouth to speak out the truth. He needs, our feet to go to the place that we need to be gone so that people can hear the message. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have a good God, and he's alive today the same way as it was 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter where the world is. You see, fake news today, fake news then. The devil was working yesterday the way he's working today. But Jesus is greater than, greater is one is in us than one is in the world. And that what gives us the ability to stand against any of the things that the devil can throw at us. He said that we can step on scorpions and serpents, and in no way they shall hurt us. Sometimes we get down and we feel defeated because we don't remember the scripture. See, when you get an attack, I'll leave you with this. When you get an attack, that's the time when you have to remember the scripture and you have to say, no way, you cannot touch me. Hello? But that's to be done on the spot, because if he gets in, it's difficult to get him out. But as soon as he tries to get in, you say, no way. Let's say it together. No way.
No way.
You cannot touch me. Amen. All right. Well, we can go and close with that. Amen. So see you next week. God bless you. And walk in victory.
Amen.
Amen.